Kia ora, welcome to episode 46 of the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
Let's talk Star Wars. First up, as we have done in the past, it's fun to take a look at little bits of news that might give us clues about when we're going to see some of the live action series. Really, the only one that's on the go at the moment is the season 3 of The Mandalorian, which we're expecting to screen next year, probably later next year, the way things are panning out. Now, we've talked about this a few times in the past because it's not 100% clear whether or not this is going to have already had some scenes filmed during the filming of some of the other live action series. I think that's entirely plausible. But one notable thing that's cropped up is that Carl Weathers, who plays Greef Karga, and I don't think this is too much of a spoiler, has tweeted that for him in particular, he is going to be filming this week. A few days ago, he tweeted that season 3 begins for yours truly on tomorrow. Greef Karga will be back on Disney+. I like that news. I like his character. And that does give us a solid clue that filming is taking place at the moment. There's also a bit of news going around at the moment where a website has used a photo of Pedro Pascal with his helmet, his Mandalorian helmet up, claiming that Pedro's role on The Mandalorian is filming right now as well, which is possibly just a little bit of speculation because, as I believe it, Pedro's currently in Canada at the moment filming for The Last of Us, and the photo that was used was in fact one that Pedro tweeted back on May the 4th, so that's probably not that solid in terms of information. But one way or another, we know that The Mandalorian Season 3 is filming as we speak, and Greef Karga, Carl Weathers, will be back for that. No solid dates yet or even solid hints, but Mandalorian Season 3 will be coming out after we see Obi-Wan, Andor, and of course Book of Boba Fett, which starts later this year. They will all be coming out in advance of Mandalorian Season 3.
Of course, this isn't like big breaking news, but it's just exciting and just sort of reassuring when we get these little snippets to let us kind of know through one way or another that the live action series are being actively worked on, are being filmed. And so it's always just exciting to know when they're getting back on set to work on new series.
Yeah, well, we've talked about how interesting next year is going to be with the continuous flow of Star Wars content, but I also think secondarily to that, it's kind of fun to think that as well as getting continuous content to watch, there is this continuing ongoing background process of series being produced. And it's also the other thing that I take from this is when someone like Carl Weathers makes a tweet of this sort, it does imply that he is interested in what the fans think about the character and, you know, engaged in the role.
Yeah, I like seeing actors share their projects on social media or talk about it in interviews and things. It just sort of conveys that they are excited about being part of this as the fans are.
Okay, that's about it for live action series, but plenty of other news to talk about. Hasbro PulseCon is going to take place this coming weekend on October the 22nd and 23rd in the US. That's Saturday and Sunday New Zealand time. You'll be able to access some of that via hasbropulsecon.com. But one way or another, any Star Wars announcements that come out of it will be online pretty soon after that. Of note, there are two panels from this Hasbro PulseCon that are Star Wars focused. On October the 22nd US time, at a time that corresponds to 10 minutes past 6 in the early hours of the morning on Saturday, there is the Hasbro panel on Star Wars offerings, and immediately following that at 10 minutes past 7 a.m. New Zealand time, there is the Hasbro Star Wars HasLab panel. So what I take from that and what we can all take from that is that Saturday morning, New Zealand time, there will be some new news about Star Wars products from Hasbro, and that will include information about the Rancor.
The Rancor news isn't new to many of us, but I'm really, really fingers crossed hoping that they give us our first pictures.
Yeah, detail is scant so far.
Your mind knows what a Rancor looks like. We know what previous versions of collectibles of Rancors look like, but I really want to see which direction they're going with for the HasLab one. The HasLab range has included things like the Sail Barge and the Razor Crests, which are super popular. You know, we haven't got our hands on the Razor Crest yet, but by all indications, it's super popular. It way exceeded their sort of pre-order expectations. So I'm super excited to see this one. Hopefully it will have the same sort of access and distribution that previous offerings
have. That's the big
hope.
Yeah.
That we really hope that local stockists like Mighty Ape will once again offer pre-orders for this locally, so we don't need to go through the fuss of ordering through these sort of international channels.
Well, as we said before in previous podcasts, when this has cropped up, the Razor Crest was available locally through Mighty Ape and EB Games. And when you did the math, when you crunched all the numbers, taking into account shipping and duty, the prices from both those retailers It's pretty much the same as bringing it in via a freight forwarder from Hasbro Direct. So yeah, fingers crossed that will be the same case for the Rancor. So as I say, Saturday morning New Zealand time, we're expecting to have quite a lot of information online from all the usual reporting sites about Hasbro Star Wars product, possibly some new figure reveals and some new pipeline reveals, and certainly this Rancor. And I'm particularly interested in the Rancor, although who knows what else we're going to hear about that will really take our fancy. But I'm particularly interested in the Rancor, I think, for a number of reasons. I'm looking forward to it because I like creatures to go with action figures, but it's possible, you know, we've had Rancors before, not in the 6-inch scale, but, you know, you might consider that this is a bit of a lesser offering in some ways than a Razor Crest, and certainly compared to the Sail Barge. So I hope we aren't seeing a trend downwards in terms of scale and value from the Sail Barge to the Razor Crest and to a Rancor. I'm hoping that we will actually get information over the weekend that this is more than just a single Rancor figure, that we've got accompanying action, you know, accompanying character with it, and perhaps some diorama or environmental components. In comic news, this one caught my attention, a comic series, a 5-issue comic series coming out from Marvel Star Wars called Halcyon Legacy will be kicking in next year. And this is a tie-in miniseries that relates to the story behind the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel at Walt Disney World in Orlando, which has just opened up its bookings, and that's another conversation we'll touch on just shortly. So a 5-issue comic series tie-in to the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel called Halcyon Legacy. It's described as a journey across 275 years of epic adventures from the High Republic through to the time of the First Order. I quite enjoyed the tie-in comic series that Marvel put out backing up the story for Galaxy's Edge at both Disney parks. So I'm kind of looking forward to this one as well. It'll be some time before we get to the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel personally, but I do like this sort of idea of stories that expand on the lore that's associated with these real world experiences. It's very, very interesting that this comic series spans a few hundred years, nearly 300 years. So they describe it as a story that spans centuries. Readers can revisit the iconic ship at different points in the Star Wars timeline, reunite with familiar faces like the ultimate scoundrel pairing of Lando and Hondo teaming up for the first time, and travel the stars with a featured tale that leads into the events of the Walt Disney World Resort experience, taking place between Star Wars The Last Jedi and Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. So just to summarize that, the Galactic Star Cruiser experience is set between episodes 8 and 9, but the history of the Halcyon Legacy of the actual Galactic Star Cruiser spaceship actually spans hundreds and hundreds of years.
It's interesting that they do specify that the Walt Disney World experience is between episodes 8 and 9, because when you think about it with the Rise of Resistance ride and the experiences that's in the park, we still have Kylo being Kylo Ren and with the First Order Stormtroopers. So it's before those final moments in The Rise of Skywalker where we see him turn back to the light. So it's interesting that they're sort of keeping with that very specific time period for the sort of hotel experience as well. Sort of, you know, specifically mentioning it here in terms of the comic issues and things like that. It'd be interesting to see whether people feel like the comics are required reading before going to the hotel, or whether they're basically going to spoon feed you any information that you might have missed because you didn't read the comics.
Yeah, probably that, but I'm sure it will really support it in a fun way for particularly for fans that really like to engage in an expansion of the lore in this way. It's also interesting, as I say, that the bookings for the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel opened a week or so back now, I think. And I think the first block sold out pretty quick, and they've moved on to subsequent blocks, which was interesting that happened in such a tight time frame. I don't know what the actual numbers of rooms that were available off the top of my head, but one way or another, just seeing them snapped up so fast was quite a positive thing.
Yeah, the first sailing, as it were, was open for Disney Vacation Club members and annual pass holders. So these are people that already have a sort of a financial relationship with Disney. They've already invested a certain amount with the Disney Vacation Club and annual passes. So it was not terribly surprising that the first chance they got, they were going to grab that experience. It's going to be sort of hotly contested, I think, with a lot of the content creators, the people that want to get videos out, get the content out, showing what this experience is like. I know a number of high profile Disney park YouTubers in that have confirmed that they will be on the first sailing at this hotel. So I'm very, very excited that we know that there's going to be some good videos from some good experienced content creators that will really give us a good vibe of what it's like for them.
Oh, and the other thing that's mildly interesting about some of the early dates that have been made available is that one group of passengers is going to be able to do this event on May the 4th or over Star Wars Day. So that's a little bit of a treat, and I can see that booking block actually being quite sought after.
Yeah, they always do added special Star Wars things in the parks for May the 4th, whether it's specific merchandise. I know sometimes they give out like a free pin or collectible sort of things for guests in the park on those days. They certainly put on a little bit of a show to celebrate that day. So whether or not that would be special.
Even if they don't do that, I think just the badge of honour of being able to say that you were there for May the 4th is a big deal. Okay, a few podcasts back, we talked about a leaked bit of information that gave us clues to some upcoming video content called Galaxy of Creatures. This is now, in fact, live. We didn't know at the last time we talked about it through which channel we'll be able to catch this, but it is, in fact, on the Star Wars Kids YouTube channel. These are a series of quite short, 2-minute or less snippet videos taking a look at the creatures of Star Wars. They're aimed very much, very much at kids. They're fun. The animation style is fun. They're great to show to your kids. They don't give us a lot of information. They're sort of adult fans in terms of the background, actual canon lore related to the animals. But if you've got kids, then I'm sure they will enjoy this sort of material.
The animation is cute. The animals are cute. At the end of each episode, there's like a little screen with sort of detailed information about the creature in question, home world, planet, some little quirky facts and things like that. And I guess I was hoping that either these would be longer in duration or aimed at sort of a mid-tier audience. It's not surprising that it's targeted at very little kids because the animals are depicted sort of being cute and cuddly. But if it was a little bit longer, I think they could have done a little bit more with it. I feel like two minutes is
a little short. Yeah, even for keeping the kids, I know everyone's got a short attention span these days, but if you're trying to get kids to absorb into something for a little bit of time without having to switch between actual episodes, then yeah, 2 minutes is quite short.
Hopefully maybe when the series is done, they'll put them all together as sort of like a little 20-minute video or something like that, so kids can sort of watch it all at once without having to sit through the sort of classic credits that go on all of these videos and things like that just sort of drag it out.
So Star Wars Galaxy of Creatures on the Star Wars Kids YouTube channel. There's associated merchandise with this, t-shirts we know of through Amazon, but also in the US through Target, a bunch of plush animals directly styled upon based on the animation style of these series. Unlikely that we'll see those in New Zealand, but they can be chased down if you've got kids that are into those sort of things, or if you are a bit of a plushy collector yourself.
I really do wish that items like these were stocked locally. I remember being fairly hopeful when Disney started to put selected Galaxy's Edge merch out at retailers, not just in the parks. And here in New Zealand, we got a certain range of collectible figures. We got some of the Black Series. We got some of the small droids that you could paint up. But in the States, they also included a huge range of plush animals that were sort of very similar, if not identical, to ones that were sold in the parks. And I was really hoping that we would see some more of that range locally. Alas, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, but they're not just for the kids. I can see these as quite, you know, sought after collectibles in many ways.
Yeah, I think that there's a sort of a gap in New Zealand. We've certainly got the action figure market is reasonably well represented in New Zealand. There's obviously nitpicks here and there when a wave or a certain figure doesn't show up. But there is ranges like this where it's plastered all through department stores in the US and then it doesn't seem to go outside. And it's like, I think there'd be a lot of people that would, these are great things to put on your shelf in your office or just scattered amongst your Funkos and other collectibles, or as you say, for a kid's room, have these cute little things to go with the YouTube videos that they're obviously trying to release so that the younger generation comes on board with Star Wars. So that feels like a little bit of a letdown that we're not getting the tie-in merch for these younger series.
Like I said, we're presuming because they're available through Target in the US, not holding my breath that we'll see them locally, but who knows. But speaking of products, last Wednesday, Lucasfilm, Star Wars, Disney kicked off a Bring Home the Bounty campaign, which is every Wednesday they're going to be revealing a new set of products, Star Wars products, that they will highlight on the StarWars.com website. Kicked off last Wednesday. It's going to go all the way through to the end of the year, so it's going to be building up to the Book of Boba Fett's release. It is not singularly tied to The Mandalorian or Book of Boba Fett. It's going to cover all the series and the movies. They come out on Tuesday US time, so Wednesday's New Zealand time. Now, I certainly like the idea of ongoing Star Wars product, of course, particularly when it's highlighted like this, although sometimes I find this week-to-week product highlight a little bit of a challenge to keep up with in some ways. If you're a collector, sometimes you feel a little bit overwhelmed, but hopefully we'll see some fun stuff and it'll be spread across a number of different product categories so we don't feel under a lot of pressure as we build up to Christmas.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. Certainly, we're used to these cadence of releases. We've seen it back when they did the build-ups to the Mandalorian series with Mando Mondays. It tends to heavily focus a bit more on the US market. There are certain products in there that are just not available locally. And we now know that with USPS not shipping to New Zealand temporarily, we don't know when that's going to correct and go back to normal. It feels a little bit cruel to be now being bombarded with wave after wave of new Star Wars product, knowing that a bunch of these websites are not really going to be accessible to us. Either they will ship USPS and they'll just cancel your order, or we're going to have to go the roundabout route of using a freight forwarder to bounce around that by using something like FedEx or DHL. So I guess it's kind of whether it's going to include a lot of things that fans will really, really want. There's been quite a variety of products revealed in the first series.
Well, from last week's releases, there's a couple of things that are definitely relevant to us as Kiwis. They talked about the upcoming wave, the wave two of the Mandalorian Retro Collection action figures. There's six figures in this wave, and I'll talk about these later when we get to product announcements and store reports because they are available locally. The other one that did catch my attention is the sunglasses from Diff Eyewear, because you've got familiarity with them, that product and that company, and they do ship directly to New Zealand, don't they? So that's something that's probably worth talking about.
Yes, I'm a fan of Star Wars fashion, so I've been aware of Diff Eyewear for a little while now. They first released some time ago with a range inspired by original trilogy characters, Leia, Boba Fett, Vader, and the like. And about a month ago, they released a second wave of some of their popular characters and designs in sort of like a revamped version. They're good, high-quality glasses, not too sort of youth-orientated in terms of their loud designs. They've gotten the right amount of touches, I think, but still kind of can go undercover as not too Star Wars-y. They tend to do...
Well, I think the styling in them is generally quite sophisticated. They are all character-based, aren't they? But they're not in your face.
No, they don't have pictures of the characters on like the sunglass arms or something like that. They tend to have touches that if you're a Star Wars fan, you will recognize that influence or you might recognize the subtle Orabesh on that. But for the Bring Home the Bounty sort of launch, they have released three new sunglasses inspired by characters specifically from The Mandalorian. We have a pair inspired by The Mandalorian himself, Grogu the child, and Ahsoka Tano. So these ones are, again, inspired by their costumes. With these new waves, they have introduced this fun feature, which I'd love to see for myself, in which a hidden image or text will appear on the sunglass lens when you breathe on it. I don't know if that's particularly to do with sort of condensation or just heat. I would love to see that effect in person. I know the Mandalorian pair has kind of got like a subtle sort of aviator style to it with touches of his costume on it. And when you breathe on the lens, it reveals the text, "This is the way," and I'd love to see what that looks like in person. These are a little bit on the more expensive side for sunglasses
because they're quality constructed, yes, aren't they? They're metal hardware and stuff.
They come with a Star Wars branded case so that you can keep it in your car or your handbag and stuff like that. It comes with a cleaning cloth, so they tend to run around the $100 to $125 US mark. But if you spend over US 115, they will ship internationally, including to New Zealand, via UPS. So it gets around the USPS not shipping to New Zealand. It's shipped via a courier, which is, again, not the fastest because international shipping is just slow right now, but it is free shipping, which is pretty good. And you do earn reward points that you can use on their non-licensed collections. So if you want to buy other sunglasses, or they also sell these, some of these Star Wars frames in both blue light and reading glass fittings, so you can get a certain magnification. So if there's a particular style you really like, sometimes the Star Wars ones can also come in reading glasses. So there isn't a lot Star Wars reading glasses in the world, but Diff do offer some of those, so they're definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, so that was one of the products, or a couple of the products that were part of the Bring Home the Bounty product release that we found particularly interesting, and that one way or another going to be available to us locally. Different bit of news, the Star Wars Visions digital soundtracks are now available. There is a link on starwars.com that takes you through to playlists for each of the episodes of the Star Wars Visions series. And from that, you can click through to Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, iTunes, or Tidal to hear all of the music tracks from each of those episodes. I know that there were fans of those. I personally liked the soundtracks from a few of the episodes. Some of it borrowed from what we're familiar with in the movies, and some of it was quite new and novel. Tatooine Rhapsody episode, for instance, being based around a rock band, had a lot of very distinct and new music, and that's now all available to access. A lot of it is just free, supported by ads, for instance. So that we'll put a link for that down below. And just rounding out our news reports, those of you who are into the role-playing games, Star Wars role-playing games, a bit of good news. Edge Studios, which are part of Asmodee, will be producing role-playing games set in the Star Wars galaxy, building on the work previously done by Fantasy Flight Games. As you know from previous conversations, or if you are a fan of role-playing games or tabletop miniature games, Fantasy Flight Games is part of Asmodee. They previously managed all of the Star Wars games. Asmodee has since moved the miniature tabletop gamings into Atomic Mass Games, a separate division that has a lot of experience with that type of gaming, and now they're working with Edge Studios, or having Edge Studios work specifically on the role-playing games. So Edge will be exploring some of the many eras of Star Wars, revisiting old classics while venturing into exciting new frontiers of the setting. The studio looks forward to building on the legacy begun with Fantasy Flight Games, they tell us, who launched the wildly successful Star Wars role-playing game, Edge of the Empire. The former lead developer of Edge of the Empire, who is now the RPG manager for Edge Studios, said he is looking forward to revisiting the Star Wars galaxy. With the licensing deal reached, Edge is also working to ensure reprints of the existing role-playing products will be available to fans all around the world. So, as always, good to know that there is ongoing support for that sort of product. Moving on to our product announcements and store reports section. As we mentioned before, Wave 2 of the Mandalorian retro figures were announced as part of the Bring Home the Bounty campaign, and it is fantastic to know that these are available for pre-order now locally. They are $25 from Mighty Ape. This wave includes Ahsoka, the Boba Fett, the version of Boba Fett they're calling the Morak version. Morak is the planet on which the Empire had their mining facility that showed up in Episode 7 of Season 2. So it is Boba Fett's repainted armor. I really like that figure. So Ahsoka, Boba Fett, Bo-Katan, the Armorer, Death Trooper, and Mandalorian wearing the Beskar version of his armor. Interestingly, most of the Mandalorian Retro Collection figures, Wave 1, which was 7 figures, are still available, also priced at $25, same as Wave 2. Cara Dune seems to have sold out of this. For one reason or another, both waves of the Mandalorian figures were quite a big jump over the original trilogy Retro Collection figures, which were priced at about $17 at Mighty Ape and available through many retailers locally, so bit of a jump in that with fewer retailers bringing them into the country, but that's kind of what we're stuck with.
$25 isn't too bad personally for sort of more of a collector's item vintage figure. I know back many years ago it felt like action figures were definitely creeping up to $24-$25, particularly at places like Toy World, where just standard figures were getting up to $25. So particularly because these are sort of the more collector's ones, they're definitely a better price point than the markup on the collector's Black Series figures. I am very happy that these sort of slightly more promotional figure releases, because they're tying into this Bring Home the Bounty campaign, are available locally. So at $25, it's still going to be a heck of a lot cheaper than ordering these from overseas.
Yeah, some very nice renditions of these figures in this wave, though. I was pretty tempted pretty fast by these. The Boba Fett action figure is great. The Ahsoka Tano action figure is great. They fit in well with the actual vintage line, but there's some real nice styling without getting overcomplicated and carrying us away from that retro styling that is the whole core theme of the line. And the other thing that's mildly interesting just on that topic is that, I think I might have mentioned this before in an earlier podcast, but now both versions are available, is that you could get the original version of the Mandalorian, or the Mandalorian in the original version of his armor in way one of the Retro Collection action figures, and you get the Beskar version of the Mandalorian in wave two. From Gentle Giant, the Diamond Select Toys, you can also get the jumbo 12-inch scale versions of these figures, the scarred-up figures. Both of them are actually available through Mighty Ape locally for pre-order. So the Mandalorian original armor figure is $169, and the Mandalorian and his Beskar armor is $159 from Mighty Ape. We'll put those links down below. And this, as we've talked about before, is an interesting extension of Gentle Giant's jumbo vintage line, because these are figures that have not created as part of the original 70s, 80s action figure collection. One thing that really stood out to me is that both these action figures have capes. And in the earlier characters from the Gentle Giant Jumbo Vintage line, they had some trouble because they used vinyl capes for the action figures in the same way that the true vintage action figures did. And it didn't really read quite as well in this upscale to 12-inch interpretation. For the Mandalorian figures, they've used a bit of a thicker vinyl rather than just the same level of vinyl that was used for the smaller scale figures. So vinyl that has body, and straight up these figures look a heck of a lot better with their capes and still retain that vintage feel.
It's always kind of curious to me that they're doing modern characters in vintage styling. It just goes to show just how nostalgic Star Wars fans are for that sort of very quirkily sculpted, stylized figure sculpting from the old sort of 70s and 80s Kenner lines. Seeing these figures now coming out with the modern Mandalorian figures in both the little 3¾-inch all the way to the jumbo 12-inch. Yeah, it's kind of fun to see.
I sometimes find myself holding a vintage action figure, I've got them on the shelves and so forth, you know, characters like the Stormtrooper or Boba Fett, you look at them and you ask yourself, what is genuinely the attraction to these? They look a little bit like the characters, they have the essence of the characters there, but they're so far from accurate and the poseability is next to nothing. But I don't know, we love them as kids. There's something, it's really hard to put your finger on, but clearly it works. Clearly there's a really strong connection with vintage action figure styling, even in this modern era, to the point where we want to see them in bigger scales. It's fun, even if we can't explain it. All right, also on the topic of the Bring Home the Bounty campaign, a couple of pop vinyl figures from Funko were announced, and they're also available for pre-order locally. Morroth from Rogue One is available. He's a standard price $25 figure. You can get him for $23 if you're a Primate member from Mighty Ape, up for pre-order now. And also a K2SO version. This is one of the Funko Pop figures in the standard size. It also comes with a coin, so he's priced a little bit higher at the $35 point. They are both available for pre-order now. Okay, and this is not a new store report, but I definitely want to mention it. We've talked online in the social media and on the website about the availability of the Star Wars Droids Carback Vintage Collection action figures, because they were very interestingly available for pre-order from the warehouse. Early on, they seemed to sell out extremely quick, but it looks like they've actually been able to restock or get a larger allocation one way or another. And we check that just before recording. We'll put a link below. If you go to the warehouse now and search for Droids, Star Wars Droids, those figures are available to pre-order from the warehouse right now. So if you looked earlier and they didn't seem to be available, they are at the time of recording.
If you haven't pre-ordered from the warehouse before, because this is kind of a new style of product release for them, warehouse does charge the full amount on your card when you place the order. So just to be aware, they do charge right when you place the order, not when the items ship, because these are items that are going to be releasing next year. So just something to take into consideration. But it's very, very good that an item like this is available at the warehouse. The warehouse generally brings in fairly large quantities of toys, so it's really interesting to see them tackle something that's a bit more targeted to collectors and doing it as in a pre-order.
Okay, and the Vintage Collection vehicle line, this one caught us or surprised us a little bit, but the Rogue One, A Star Wars Story Antok Merrick's X-Wing Fighter vehicle, which is quite sought after in the US, quite hard to get your hands on. It's a 3.75-inch X-Wing Starfighter with a carded Antok Merrick. It's available from Farmers. It's got a base price of $229.99, so $230. There was a toy sale on over the school holidays where it was dropped down to 184. I suspect that might have expired right now, but I think Farmers is running a buy one, get one half off toys offer at the moment. I have to check if this one actually qualifies. Unfortunately, I can't find this on the Farmers website, so it's only available in regions of New Zealand where you can get to your Farmers store to see if they can find it. Hopefully there will be enough stock of this sticking around for those of us who can't get to farmers department stores to check out the shelves in person. But very interesting that a exclusive, hard to find, high-end vehicle like this is actually available locally, and we've talked about it before. It's fun, even if it's surprising from time to time, that some of these retailers are getting their hands on these slightly more interesting products that are tailored for collectors rather than kids.
Yeah, I was really happy to see this, even though for those of us in Auckland, this one's just on the wish list right now. The vehicles are always some of my favourite things in the Star Wars action figure line. They really sort of flesh out a scene on a shelf. They just sort of give you that sort of extra detail. Obviously, they're a lot larger, but a lot of local retailers simply don't bring in vehicles. They're at a higher price point. They're sort of that price point where parents aren't buying them quite as much for their kids because, you know, a kid is potentially going to wreck their $200 X-Wing, whereas a collector will put it on a shelf. But I do hope that Farmers has brought in a certain allocation for every store, and that the ones for the Auckland stores are simply sitting there waiting for us to be able to go in and get it. So fingers crossed that that's there waiting for us as a shining light at the end of lockdown when we can return to stores.
Right, now we've also got a whole handful of other products that are available to order right now. The Amban Phase Pulse Blaster Rifle by Nerf is shipping from Mighty Ape. It's a very cool product that's been on pre-order for quite a while now, but it is shipping, priced at $219. This is an almost full-scale, pretty accurate apart from the colour, because they've had to go with sort of white and orange, but it's got some metallic hints and metallic detailing on it. Quite a good replica of the Mandalorian's blaster rifle, straight up. And if you're a bit of a prop builder or prop accurizer, this is a pretty good base to paint up and display on a rack or on the wall, I think. But if you're a Nerf fan, it's a pretty high-end Nerf product as well. New Zealand Mint continues with their Faces of the Empire series. They have released a TIE Pilot, the third in this line. It is a silver coin in the shape of a TIE Pilot helmet, priced at $145. They're releasing coins in the Faces of the Empire series at a rate of one per month. The previous two, Darth Vader and Stormtrooper, are still available at the time of recording. The LEGO Star Wars The Armourer's Mandalorian Forge set has become available locally. Mighty Ape had it, but seemed to have sold out. I can see that Toyko still has it available, priced just under $50. This is a very cool set. I think part of the reason it might have sold out from Mighty Ape is that it comes with three very sought-after minifigs, the Armorer, the Mandalorian, and Paz Vizsla, the Heavy Mandalorian.
Yeah, this is a pretty good price point for a set that includes three sought-after minifigs. Plus, it's just sort of an iconic scene in The Mandalorian with the Armorer and her sort of setup where she forges the Beskar sort of coins into Mando's new set of armor. So it's definitely one of those ones where you don't necessarily have to be a Lego collector to just appreciate it. You know, you can buy it as just a one-off little Mandalorian collectible piece and put it on your shelf with your other Mandalorian pieces. So it's definitely worth checking out and picking up if you're a Mando fan.
And in the apparel section at Cotton On, we're moving into the seasons where summer pajamas have become available. So from Cotton On Kids, there is a retro X-Wing styled set of kids pajamas priced at $29.99. And from the warehouse, a new t-shirt that has shown up, a Star Wars logo t-shirt, a cool interpretation of the Star Wars logo on the front. And then a tour style listing of all the Star Wars saga movies on the back. That's priced at $22. Next week, after the Hasbro PulseCon, I hope we'll be able to talk about a whole lot of new products, and with a bit of luck, get a little bit of a hint as to who might be making those available locally. But for now, I guess we are done doing talking. If you have any thoughts on the topics we've discussed today, we're definitely keen to hear them. Leave a comment on the YouTube page or our website page for this podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you taking your time to listen to us share our passion for Star Wars. Stay tuned to our website, swnz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders, and another podcast episode next week and every Tuesday. And don't forget, you can jump on over to either our Facebook group or the SWNZ message boards to discuss all the latest Star Wars news with other Kiwi fans. Kia ora, kia noho, haumaru, thank you for listening and stay safe.
Tūro Hawaiki, may the Force be with you.